Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you. The Outdoor Artists Collective in Terrace, BC is celebrating winter with a festival from January 15th to 19th. The festival has 18 events, 16 of which are free, which includes workshops, performances, community gatherings, knowledge sharing, nature walks, you name it. The festival is called SEMA, and it's centered on building community during the darkest months of the year to drive meaningful, slow change for a more interconnected and resilient future. The name of the festival, SEMA, was one that was created after the founders combined words for an afternoon and came up with soul and anima as strong words to put together, SEMA being a punchy combination of the two. When they looked the word SEMA up, it was an antiquated term for the lower connective layer of Earth's crust binding the planet together, sea and land, and since the founders wanted the festival to bring people together, the name SEMA stuck. Now I'm speaking with Taylor Dilley, a professional contemporary skater and one of the organizers of the OAC's upcoming festival in Terrace.
My name is Taylor Dilley, and I'm one of the co-founders of the Outdoor Artists Collective alongside Anne Isabel Leonard, and together we're making the SEMA Festival happen in Terrace.
Could you just tell me a little bit about the Outdoor Artists Collective?
Sure. So the Outdoor Artists Collective started in 2019, and At first, we wanted to bring artists out into the backcountry to have mostly urban artists connect with rural ones and try and have this intertwining of those two worlds, because they're pretty starkly different. And we thought there was something that each could learn from each other. Its goal is to both empower artists, uplift what they're doing, and to focus on some of the things that artists are talking about, especially in the realm of social and environmental advocacy. And so we're aiming to work with artists that are already working in those spheres.
And that is reflected in the programming of the festival. So would you tell me now about SEMA Festival?
Yeah. So we're SEMA Festival. So this is the third annual event. It's happening January 15th to 19th. There are some jams where we're inviting local musicians and anybody that wants to show up and having a little bit of an initiation into what jamming is with a local facilitator. We're doing film night with Skeena Wild and the International Free Sports Film Festival at the Rem Lee. We've got Rachel McCrum, who's an Irish poet coming in from Montreal. Wow. We have a researcher, Marie Helene, that's coming in from Montreal as well.
What did she research?
I'm going to get the word wrong. Solstalgia, specifically in winter and with art. And she's going to do a bit of a talk during the festival on processing your emotions around changing environment and how that can be scary. And we're also bringing up a drag king from Vancouver this year for an event with the Terrace Pride Pals, the SEMA Winter Ball this year. And I think that one might be a little bit provocative for some, and I think that will bridge some of that rural-urban difference.
Are all these events free?
So almost everything is free. We have 16 free events, and there's two that we're selling tickets for. So we're selling tickets for Beyond the Slopes, which is the Skeena Wild and IF3 Film Festival, showing at R.E.M. Lee, and we're also selling tickets for Dancing in the Dark. The rest just have caps on capacity, and they're different caps. The best way to facilitate people coming is to have people RSVP through our website and through Zephy, which we're using to coordinate it.
Do you feel like you are achieving that goal of connecting urban and rural artists?
Yeah, I think it's going to take time. And it's the kind of thing that our collective is hoping to focus on, is the idea that things don't have to happen immediately, that good relationships do take time, and that change takes time, and that time for reflection is a good thing. But I think last year we had a really great interaction with an environmentalist and a singer-songwriter, Luke Wallace. And he does a lot of his own work, and he's branching into working with choirs. And last year we got to do a really cool performance from him, and also crafted a little choir together in Terrace for the event. And he worked with the community choir in Hazleton as well, did an event with them. And so I think that was a great example of what happened last year that is bridging those rural-urban artist divides.
Yeah, awesome.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, pleasure. Thank you.
If you would like to attend the SEMA Festival or find out more information, find Outdoor Artist Collective on Facebook. And there's an event called SEMA Festival 2025, Wintering Together, where you'll not only find out all of the events and listed programs, but you can also reserve your spot for some of the events with limited capacity due to space. The Terrace Kasan Society has partnered with the University of Victoria to address misconceptions around homelessness through an anonymous online survey to find out what Terrace residents' beliefs and values are around not only homelessness, but also housing insecurity.
My name is Vicky Serafini. I'm the communications specialist for Kasan Society in Terrace, BC. So in, I believe it was late 2023, we were approached by Associate Professor Dr. Brenda Mishak, who is in the Faculty of Nursing, I believe, at UVic. And she has a lot of background in researching housing. And she had come to talk to us about some potential projects, and eventually we landed on a housing survey and a survey that sort of asks about people's perceptions of homelessness. As a social service agency here in Terrace, we do deal with a lot of misinformation and sort of misconceptions about the causes of homelessness and just the degree to which people are in our community are experiencing housing insecurity. So through funding from Spark BC, we were able to get the survey off the ground and out into the world in mid-November.
What sort of metrics do you have now?
We don't have a ton, and that's one of the reasons why we did this. So the perceptions piece is a lot more about the causes of homelessness and whether different levels of government are doing enough or doing the appropriate things to address homelessness. What we're interested in seeing is we're really interested in this idea of housing insecurity. So we have what I think is a lot more people than folks realize that experience housing insecurity. So you may have a roof over your head, but you don't know if you'll be able to afford your rent in the coming months. Or maybe you have a roof over your head, but your housing doesn't meet your mobility needs, whether that's because of a disability or because seniors deal with a lot of sort of trouble in finding appropriate housing in terms of accessibility and their proximity to services in downtown. Or maybe you have a roof over your head, but you have so many generations of family living in the same house that it's not an ideal situation and sometimes not even a safe situation. You're living in a house, but you have issues with electrical, with plumbing, things aren't up to date. So that's really what we're interested in seeing. And I think that information might feed into the perceptions piece, where we see that people experiencing homelessness who are often othered, they're seen as a group that's separate from everyone else, that we might see that a lot of us are quite a bit closer to that circumstance than we may think.
So tell me about the survey.
Yeah, currently we have the survey set to be open until January 15th, but we're actually looking to extend that an extra month. This is for the Terrace area only. We do want everyone in Terrace 19 up to participate. So whether you are experiencing housing insecurity or whether you are a homeowner or whether you are a landlord or a developer, we want to hear everybody's opinion and hear everybody's story. The survey is online. You just have to go to Kasan Society's website. That's kasansociety.com, and it's right on our homepage. There's a big poster and a button that you can click on to get to the survey. And if you prefer a paper copy and you're in Terrace, you can come to the Kasan Society Administration Building. That's at 4444 LaCalse Avenue, and you can fill out a copy there.
after you've collected this information, this community feedback, what's the next step between Spark BC, CSAN, and University of Victoria?
We need to see again what information we get before we can decide what to do. But one thing that I know CSAN Society is really hoping to do is understand what kind of possibly misconceptions people have about people experiencing homelessness so that we can tailor our educational efforts, our information sharing efforts to correct those bits of misinformation that I think sometimes really lead to emotionally charging the discussions around this issue.
Milder winter weather portends unpredictable ice and snow conditions, and so I'm speaking to the director of BC Adventure Smart, an organization created to offer education and tips for outdoor safety through a free webinar series.
My name is Sandra Riches, and I'm the executive director for BC Adventure Smart. BC Adventure Smart is a program that the BC Search and Rescue Association started 20 years ago. We just celebrated our 20th anniversary in November 2004. And we're here to educate outdoor enthusiasts about safety, personal preparedness, and what to do in an emergency to lessen the impacts on search and rescue volunteers.
Okay, Sandra, first off, thank you very much for making the time to speak with me. Our weather is fluctuating, as is typical, but what it brings my attention to is people wanting to get out on ice, people wanting to snowshoe, people wanting to explore. There's lots of backcountry here to explore and have a lot of fun on. But I always think about thinning ice, or if ice is safe. So I'm wondering if we could start there. If you could talk about just some of the maybe warning signs or things to look out for to test if ice is safe enough for a person or people to walk around or even play on.
In wintertime, British Columbia has so many lakes and ponds that call all of us adventurers who love the winter to go out and play, right? We have frozen bodies of water that offer so many sporting activities, from ice fishing, cross-country skiing, snowshoeing, skating, and snowmobiling. But no ice surface is without some risk. So we have to ensure our safety and become ice aware and take all the necessary precautions before we venture out there so that we literally don't catch ourselves on thin ice. There's a great little chart at adventuresmart.ca that provides all the information about ice depth in relation to activity. Here's a little summary of that and what it looks like. So when you want to stay off, let's start at the very beginning and let's talk about when we need to stay off the ice. The thickness needs to be about 7 centimeters or 3 inches or less. We're not going near it. We're going to stay away, stay off, and keep our distance for sure. 10 centimeters or 4 inches is safe for ice fishing, walking, cross-country skiing. Those are some activities for 10 centimeters or 4 inches. 12 centimeters or 5 inches is good for a snowmobile or even an ATV if you're out there on a quad. 20 to 30 centimeters, 8 to 12 inches, would be for a car or a small pickup. And then 30 to 38 centimeters or 12 to 15 inches would be a medium-sized truck, like a pickup or a van.
How would you test the thickness of the ice before you get on it?
That's a great question. And it can be a bit of a conundrum for some who aren't versed in that area. We talk a lot about training and practice. Head out to the water and see what it looks like at the edge, safely, by the way. And pack a few things to measure the ice yourself. It's not going to hurt to either take a rope with you and see if it dips in the water at any point, or a ruler, or some form of measuring tool that can allow you to have some exposure to that, again, in a safe spot that you're with others doing it, and just see what that looks like. And then it's our responsibility to watch those weather systems coming through, check out the forecast, see what freezing is happening in the area, and pay attention to all of those changes that are happening throughout the winter.
Absolutely. Because this is so informational, what should I do if I myself fall through the ice, or if someone that I'm with falls through the ice? What are some of the tips for managing that?
If you break through, you yourself, do your very best not to panic. I know it's easy for me to say here when I'm warm and dry and comfortable in my home, but do your very best to remember to not overly panic. Your clothing will actually trap some air and keep you somewhat buoyant. So that's on your side. That's a plus. Turn towards the direction that you came from and place your hands and arms flat That's the key word here, flat on the unbroken surface. Kick your feet and try to push yourself up on top of the unbroken ice on your, kind of think of yourself like a seal and imagine that you can mimic that. And then once you're lying on the ice, don't stand up, don't stand up. Roll away from the broken area where you were to solid ice. Those are the few tips that we would suggest if you do break through. And that's also listed at adventuresmart.ca.
If you're with someone who has fallen, what's the most useful thing you can do if they've fallen through and you can see them?
Do your best to stay calm. They're going to need you. And do your best to think about how the solution can be solved, right? This is an emergency and we're trying to lessen the severity of the whole thing and to lessen the severity for search and rescue volunteers as well. Don't run up to the hole. We're going to have that instant, I need to help them. I'm coming to you. Don't run up to the hole. You might break through too. And then you're both going to need help. So use an item that you have in the area. It could be a long stick. It might be your ski or your ski pole, a rope, and extend that to your friend as best as you can to pull them out of the water. Yeah, if you don't have a rope, try to improvise with different items you might have. If you're close to the edge and your car's close by, maybe you've got jumper cables in there, or like I mentioned, maybe some skis, something that you can use to share, to toss to your friend. And if you can't rescue them immediately, call 911 right away. As soon as you can, describe the situation, your location, and they'll send someone out to help you.
Sandra, before people go out exploring, what can they do to prepare best for that trip to be safe and fun?
We talk a lot about the three T's here at BC Adventure Smart. The first T is trip planning. Leave a trip plan with a trusted emergency contact, and I'll come back to that in a second. The second T is training, having the training for the activity you're choosing to do. And the third is taking essentials, taking those emergency essentials with you in case something happens and you have some essentials to get you through a few hours and possibly the night. Let's go back to that first one, trip planning. No one ever expects to get in trouble when they head outdoors, but maybe a turn on the weather, mistaken judgment, unexpected injury, or equipment failure can quickly change anything into a crisis. And so what you can do is look up on the App Store, Adventure Smart Trip Plan app. This app is free of charge, available to anyone in Canada, and it will allow you to enter in all the details about your adventure, where you're going, who you're going with, what gear you have, your experience, as much information as possible. You can just fill in all the fields, check off boxes, then you send that to an emergency contact that you've asked to be your emergency contact and confirm that. And then if you're not back by the allotted time, they'll get a notification via the app. It's an excellent tool and it can really help search and rescue find you faster with all the details that they need. It's free of charge and it's available at adventuresmart.ca. You'll see it there or just go onto the App Store wherever you get your apps and download it for free. It's an excellent tool.
Okay. Yeah, that's really great. And I'm assuming that would be really helpful for backcountry skiers as well, going out where they will be out of communication unless you have a satellite phone or a GPS satellite phone. That would be a very helpful thing for them to fill out and send to a friend before they go. So as the director of BC's Adventure Smart program, there's a webinar series coming up with the Life Saving Society about just what we're talking about, ice thickness, safety, precautions, and what you can do if you fall through. Can you tell me a little bit about this series and maybe how people can access it, get involved, or watch the series?
This winter, we have webinars running all the way from the end of November last year to the middle of March 2025. And you can find all of those events at the BC Search and Rescue Association's website under the Outdoor Education banner. Just pop right down there to events and webinars, and you'll see all the ones we've had so far. And then you'll also see this one that's coming up here with the Life Saving Society titled No Ice Surface is Without Some Risk. You can find all of the details to register either through the BC Search and Rescue Association's website, Outdoor Education, or head over to the BC Adventure Smart Facebook page, events, everything's right there for you. This will be an event that runs from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific time. It's free of charge and everyone's welcome to join. So we thought we'd invite the guests to our stage, the experts, I should say, and they can speak to you as well. And we open it up for questions. We've got some great answers, often some giveaways, and everyone's welcome. And these webinars offer you easy access, free access, in the comforts of your home to learn a little bit more about outdoor safety before you go out there and how search and rescue can help you, but also how you can lessen the impact on search and rescue.
Thanks again for tuning in to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at skeenastrong.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks again to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters. I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.